on the news.
Late edition.
Handel on the news.
Bill Handel.
He's a guy I know, and he's one of the most negative people you could ever see.
And now, here's Bill Handel.
Yeah, that's fair.
Sometimes they're not funny.
Yeah, sometimes it's just, I've been known. I'm not a glass half full guy. I'm a glass half empty.
What?
With a big hole at the bottom, the water keeps pouring out.
Plus, you think the glass is a piece of crap, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the glass breaks, and it's just horrible. All right. Before we get into Handel on the News, it's a late edition, and it is a super segment, so we have no commercials until the top of the hour. At the top of the hour, 9 o'clock, I'm going to share with you my immigrant lunchbox story. And I've done this a few times over the generation that we've been on the air. It'll be 25 years in July. God, it's hard to imagine. I started when I was 18. Sure. Why not? And I look at myself in the mirror saying, hey, you still look damn good. And then I wake up and it all goes away. Anyway, what we don't think of is very much about what happens to immigrants coming in. It's just we look at the politics. Should they work? Should they be kicked out? But the difficulty in assimilating, becoming part of the American culture. And that's exactly what happened to me when I was brought to America when I was 5 by my parents, legally, I might add. And I want to share with you, and that's what I call the immigrant lunchbox story. And that's coming up at 9 o'clock. All right, now, let's do it. Handel on the News late edition, lead story. Well, as we knew, the body that was pulled from a shallow grave in Northern California has been identified, Adia Shabani, and she suffered blunt force trauma to her head. And the only way they could identify her, well, they could have with DNA, but they did it through the tattoos on her body. And it's almost certain that her boyfriend, a fellow acting student, Christopher Spotts, who shot himself in Riverside County last Thursday following a police chase, is the person who killed her. I wonder if they keep on going with this investigation.
Well, I'm sure they're going to try and figure out how or where or, you know, why.
Yeah, but I'm assuming that they're comfortable with that. It is him that did it. It is he who did it.
But even though he's not obviously available to be prosecuted, right, they're going to look into whether anybody helped him.
Yeah.
Well, a big portion of it is, too, that his father lives in Northern California. And so somebody tipped them off that the body was in Northern California.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Oh, hey, a new ride at Universal. No. No, I'm sorry. I take it back. I apologize.
Well, a guy has exposed himself to women and young kids at Universal Studios.
That's why I'm apologizing. Yeah, it's that was a little harsh.
Oh, you should.
Yeah, I know I do.
Okay, so here's the deal.
His name's Herschel.
Yeah.
Bill?
Herschel Corngut.
Herschel Corngut.
What a heck of a last name.
Yeah.
So the guy on January 1st, cops got reports that this guy was exposing himself to women at Universal Studios, and I guess he did it to kids too. And so,
yeah, that's the tough part.
Yeah,
that's no good.
And now they think that they have found child pornography also in his home.
Yeah.
And the concern is that there are other victims out there.
Yeah. You know, the line goes, I mean, exposing yourself to adults is just, yeah, I don't get all that offended. It's wrong, but it's not crazy wrong. When you cross the line into kids.
Oh, yeah.
Then you've got then it's just insanely wrong. Now you've got criminality. See, well, no, exposing yourself to me. See, if anybody exposes themselves to me, I just start laughing. To me.
Yes. Well, that's you.
Yeah. I guess some adults could really be affected by that.
Sure.
Yeah. I would never expose myself. People would start laughing. They would point. And I couldn't take it. I'd be in therapy for 40 years after that one. Well, I actually have been in therapy for 40 years.
All right, that's enough of your schmeckle,
okay.
I think.
All right.
Hey, remember Zachary Cruz, brother of the Parkland shooter, showed up on the campus of Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School and was promptly arrested for trespassing and held on $500,000 bail?
Yeah, crazy bail.
Well, he's getting out.
When you're strange.
Yes, and your point.
Crazy bail.
For trespassing. But there was significant concern that he was dangerous. They were going to have a hearing today to to litigate whether he can continue to be held on this crazy bail, but instead he decided to cop a plea. And he will get 6 months probation.
No jail time.
No jail time. Right. He has to stay off drugs, alcohol. He has to stay at least a mile away from the school and stay away from all firearms.
Now, isn't that sort of a typical sentence that you would see anybody?
Yes.
Even if it wasn't a brother of the shooter.
You know, sure. The maximum that he faced was only 60 days in jail and a $500 fine anyway. But my guess is he wanted to get out of there fast.
But you're right, though. The response to it with that $500,000 bail went, and then it just came out to like a normal thing in the end.
Right.
So, all right. So after the Parkland shooting, we had heard that gun sales didn't go up.
Oh, they went up, but just incrementally.
Not like some other shootings, though. But now we know where the money did go. That was just to NRA donations.
This is NRA country.
This is crazy. A shooting occurs. Of course, gun control is talked about. And I think even before gun control really became a big issue. Because remember, it was, a month after the shooting that the first major... the first major march was. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Okay. But between that, the donations just went through the roof. So in January, the NRA collects $250,000 in individual contributions. In February, they are now at $780,000. And it is, you don't know why, just the thought of talk. The NRA loves it when people talk about gun control. They love it. Matter of fact, I'm getting to the point now where I think maybe it's someone connected to the NRA that starts all that.
Why are the conspiracy theories always it's the government
right.
who makes these things happen or plants these crisis actors to take away
right.
your guns? Isn't it equally plausible
sure.
that the NRA stages all of this?
Yeah, because look how much they have to gain.
I mean, I don't believe any of it.
Of course not. But look how much they have to gain.
Oh, yeah. People get nervous.
Because that's specific.
Money their way.
Because the government really doesn't have that much to gain by taking away your weapons. I mean, it's neutral to the government other than a philosophical approach. For the NRA, it's real money.
Except for people who think that if the government could take away all the guns, then they could completely oppress us like the king was doing back in the day when we had to take up arms against that guy.
See, but that's a huge stretch where the NRA, where someone associated with the NRA, and of course I'm speculating, I'm not making this accusation, but someone associated with the NRA doing, that is really concrete. That's a concrete connection.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Just
now, one of the other numbers, though, that I found kind of interesting in this is they said that the number of people contributing in the 7 days after the shooting increased by 500% from the week before.
Of course.
So people who weren't even helping the NRA on a normal basis, on a regular basis, all of a sudden decided that they needed to.
I guess their messaging is effective then. The messaging that it's the slippery slope
and
they're coming for your guns activates people who prior to that weren't thinking about it.
You know, one of the things I didn't think about, the statistics, is that after Donald Trump was elected, and this came out of the conversation with Remington going bankrupt, is the sale of guns actually decreased.
Right.
Why? Because people are no longer afraid of the government taking away their guns if Donald Trump is president. Now, the second that a Democrat becomes president, you're just going to see gun sales explode.
Another high school senior in trouble, suspended for posting a photo of an airsoft gun on social media.
All right.
His name is also Zach.
Yep. And this is getting crazy. I mean, it's clearly a toy. There's no question that it is. There is no threat in his post on his snapshot. And the words have a nice day with a happy face, part of the gun's design.
This was a birthday present. He's really into airsoft, which is basically paintball without paint.
Right.
And he's really into it. And he got this gun as a birthday present. And he put it on his Snapchat. So from his perspective, a completely normal thing to do. The school wigged out. They grabbed him. They took his backpack and his phone. They pulled him into the office, and
he was in class.
Yes.
When they pulled him out.
Yep.
That's lovely, isn't it?
Can his family sue?
Maybe.
Yeah.
For emotional distress.
I would argue they could.
All right. So Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, he's apologizing, and we're so sorry for the Cambridge Analytica thing, and we're sorry that everybody got a hold of your information, but whoa, we don't want this new bill to go through that might actually help you protect your privacy.
Is it too late now to say sorry?
While the right hand is saying yes, of course we want to protect privacy, the left hand is grabbing and still selling all this data mining.
Yeah, there's this new measure that's called Do Not Sell My Personal Information. It would give Californians the ability to opt out of having their personal data sold or shared, right? Well, but then Zuckerberg goes, well, you know, here we are. We want to protect your privacy, and we're so sorry. But he was part of the lobby against this bill that would have required this Do Not Sell My Personal Information.
Yeah, I think that's going to change dramatically. And it's going to make Facebook a much less valuable company, because this is where the real money is.
That's their entire business model.
Is the data mining.
If they can't mine everybody's data, they're gone.
There's nothing there. There's no monetization. So they're looking at a real problem. I mean, Amazon is untouchable, especially after they buy another country or two. They're going to own everything. You know, pretty soon is going to be this segment brought to you by Amazon. This radio station, radio group brought to you by Amazon. This state brought to you by Amazon.
Welcome to California, a subsidiary of Amazon. This happened pretty quickly. Uber has already settled with the family of the woman killed by their autonomous car.
Uber everywhere.
And you can imagine how big a check they wrote to get it done this quickly. Christina Perez Hisano, the attorney, I'll tell you, this was the biggest hit she has ever had. It was a letter to Uber saying, hi, I represent the lady that was killed, and I'd like to talk to you about it. Sure, here's some money, and lots of it. And Christina gets, what, 30%? It doesn't matter what percentage she got. But typically it's 30%, a third. Maybe there was a negotiation down to 25%. But let me tell you, is it a payday for her? And, of course, for the family, there's probably never going to be enough money to lose a family member. Never. Except maybe in my case. There is a number.
You're saying there's a number where you would be okay with losing one of your daughters in an accident?
Oh, yeah.
Handle.
What?
No, there's not.
What?
There's not.
Let's just move on.
Yeah.
And all the jurors say, I'm pretty fly for an OBGYN.
What an interesting story.
It's a great story.
This guy is interesting, and what happened is interesting.
So the guy is the former drummer for The Offspring, which is all the girls say, I'm pretty fly for a white guy song. That's where I got that. Anyway. So he's got a malpractice lawsuit against him because he went from drummer to OBGYN, who doesn't, right? So they're in court, and this couple claims that, there's this malpractice suit against him. And then all of a sudden, one of the jurors collapses, hits his head, loses consciousness. And so the drummer, James Lilja, jumps up with one of his nurses, and they start performing CPR on the guy.
That's Dr. Lilja to you.
Right.
That's right.
He's
a
doctor.
And
now.
In the court, there was a defibrillator.
So they shock the guy,
right.
bring him back.
Yep, and to save his life, he has a pulse when the paramedics take him away. And so the people that are suing for malpractice immediately move for a mistrial, arguing that the jurors who were there might be swayed by witnessing the fact that he saved someone's life.
So he couldn't have screwed these people.
Right, so the judge said, I think you're right. Mistrial was declared, dismissed the jurors, and there's a new trial date coming up. It is a fascinating story. Now, do we have defibrillators here on the floor?
I think there's one like near the kitchen.
I don't know. We have like those little medical boxes, but
they don't have defibrillators.
If we have one, I don't know where it is. So
I think
it doesn't matter.
Kitchen.
And you would think,
there should
be one every place. Actually, there should even be one in your house because they're fairly cheap now. I mean, they were $3,000. Now there may even be a few hundred dollars, but those things save lives big time.
This is a mystery. A guy disappears. He gets up in the morning and he goes out paddleboarding near his Fort Lauderdale home, and then he vanishes.
I wanna swim away, but don't know how.
Now, Constantine Theo Harris.
Now, there may be a good reason that he vanished.
Yeah, there's a theory about why he might have vanished.
He owes $500,000 in child support and last seen on a blue paddleboard heading north in the Atlantic Ocean. Now, is it suicide or did he manufacture the fact that he has disappeared? We've heard that before. How many movies have you seen on that one? How many stories have you seen about people who just disappear when owing a ton of money?
Although his brother says he left his phone, his wallet, his keys, and his passport at his house. So if he fled, he must have had another identity set up ready to go. Or he drowned himself because he was so despondent about all of this situation.
That's what I thought, yeah.
And we'll see if his body shows up, because normally that happens. Body washes to shore.
Well, remember how we were talking a couple of weeks ago, how everybody was outraged that MSU said it was going to have to raise its tuition because of the Dr. Larry Nassar case? Well, now we might know a little bit about why. Because MSU said it paid $500,000 to monitor Larry Nassar victims during this sentence hearing. And it was this public relations firm, but it had it go through and look and see what Nassar's victims, politicians, journalists, celebrities, how their tweets regarding Nassar were received by the public. How the hell did they think they were going to be received?
But maybe they found something that they could defend themselves with. I can't imagine that it would be a negative post that was done. And look at this. She says she was abused by Nassar. However, she is, and then insert name of whatever allegation you want. I can't imagine it was for those purposes. It's for the purposes of trying to make MSU look as good as possible so they can make strategic decisions as to which way to go. Now, the part that sort of floors me is that the employees were paid between $200 and $600 an hour.
An hour.
For just checking up, looking for posts, or maybe the Weber Shandwick charged between $200 and $600 an hour. I think that's more like it.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, big profit center, those employees.
How about a university scandal that does not involve sexual assault and exploitation? I have one for you.
Money for nothing and you're
chasing. Yeah, Howard University. But you know what? This is just garden variety money problems. Apparently, there were some employees who took advantage of this situation. Sometimes you will get both a remission in your tuition, right, a reduction, and you get a grant. And the total amount of these benefits add up to more than what it costs to actually attend the school. They were supposedly pocketing the excess money. And now the on-campus, there's two groups, Howard University Resist and Howard HUSA. I don't know what the SA stands for that group, but they are super angry to hear about this malfeasance.
Well, actually, there's three groups. Let's not forget the police.
Yes, and of course, the police who are looking into this as well. But really, all you have to do if you were on Howard University is call everybody together and say, at least it's not Michigan State University, fellas. Let's calm down.
This next one is...
Oh, speaking of calming down.
Calming down. Dude, can I have another?
I see the moon horizon.
So Blue Moon Beer is launching three marijuana-infused drinks that promise the intoxication without the headache.
Yeah, here's the problem as I see it. Since it takes, whenever you ingest marijuana in any form, it takes about an hour for it to kick in. And the problem then becomes, how many of these beer do you indulge in an hour before it kicks in? And now three, four, I mean, how many can do in an hour comfortably? And all of a sudden, it's like smoking, three or four joints before it kicks in. That's a lot of marijuana.
They claim that they have a way of doing it so that the effect of the marijuana will hit you at about the same pace as if you were just drinking regular beer the way the alcohol would hit you. Now, I don't know how they're manipulating the chemistry of it, but that is what they're claiming. Well, and of course, there's no alcohol in this pot beer.
And that's how they're skirting that federal ban that says you can't put pot in drinks because it doesn't have alcohol in it. So that's how they can get away with putting the marijuana in it.
Which means it's not beer.
Right.
As far as it's skunk water.
Yeah.
Yes.
It gets you high. All right. Another marijuana story.
Yeah, in this case, sort of good news. A recent study says that one of the substances in pot, cannabidiol, can help drug addicts not relapse.
Yeah, they're finding a whole lot of benefits out of marijuana. Now, we already know it helps with nausea with cancer patients, glaucoma patients. I mean, this is good stuff.
And this CBD is the part of that does not get you high. There's no psychoactive effect.
Yeah, there's it also helps with eating Chinese food. For some reason, bad Chinese food tastes phenomenal when you...
Not with CBD.
No, not with that.
That's with full-on pot you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad we're getting to this mystery story now.
Oh, thank God. Hashtag who bit Beyonce, now we know. No.
Drunk in love. This is one of the biggest mysteries in our country right now.
We should have actually started this as the lead story.
Yeah.
Oh, because it would have set the tone for the rest of the day. Well, remember back in, December, I guess, when an actress allegedly on drugs bit Beyonce at a Jay-Z concert after party, and Tiffany Haddish went all over the internet and said, I know who it is, and she even said, you want to know who it is? I'm going to tell you. It's the last time I'm going to talk about it. She goes on Instagram Live and starts doing that. All of a sudden, Tiffany has buttoned up her lips because there's a non-disclosure agreement. And she says, NDAs are real, so I'm not saying S about it.
All right. The only thing I can say that we probably know is that whoever did it had some real money.
Yes.
Because,
Because it's not like Tiffany Haddish is poor.
Right. But
and also, Chrissy Teigen claims she knows who bit Beyonce on the face as well, but she won't talk. But she hasn't said she signed an NDA.
Yeah, we don't know.
Who bit Beyonce? Who shot Mr. Burns? Who shot J.R.?
Beyonce? That's an Agatha Christie movie, certainly a novel, and if not a movie.
Oh, it's like A Murder on the Orient Express. They all bit her.
Yep.
Oh,
all right,
that's good.
All right, we are done.